Coming up on TMS, there are things about Ghostbusters you simply do not know.
Trash burning can cause problems. Duh.
What does it take to lose an 85-year-old lady?
Hello Kitty is not a cat.
Oh my gosh. Uma and Quentin sitting in a tree.
Aw, T-H-E-R-A-P-Y. No, Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I'm Maud Adams. For natural flavor, I like Kot. A lot. Because Kot beverages are made with real honest-to-goodness fruit. Like sweet, juicy oranges, tart lemons and limes, luscious strawberries and raspberries, and succulent grapes. 30 delicious flavors, including diet flavors, non-carbonated flavors, and the best root beer you've ever tasted. All natural, all great. Enjoy the good taste of Kot.
Natural tastes better, so it's Kot to be good.
Just a haircut.
You're threatening me? You're threatening me with P? This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. This is Scott Johnson. That is Brian Ibbett.
It is.
I want to do the entire show without any...
inflection in your voice?
Without any... in other words, just left me. What's the thing where you put an apostrophe T at the end of stuff?
Oh, contractions.
Oh, contractions. No contractions Thursday.
Just like Data.
Yeah, let's do that.
No contraction Thursday. I love this idea.
Okay, I'm going to try to do it. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it.
I love the fact that there are no contractions in trying to do it.
I know, I did. I still set it out that way. But I don't does.
And gonna is not a not a contraction.
I'm gonna try not to do it. All right. It's not we're gonna do contractions freely. Okay? It's the English language.
Maybe even extra. We might even throw contractions where there shouldn't be.
I think there already is a shouldn't, but shirt is fine.
Shirt. It's shirt a should you. And aren't. You're contracting the words should and aren't.
All right. Well, that's a way to start the show. Hello, and welcome to Thursdays. It's Thursday, August 28th, 2014. This is a weekend, and it's Labor Day weekend, which means Monday is Labor Day. And we don't know yet if there's a show. We'll let you know tonight on the PM edition of the show.
We do know there will be a show.
Yeah, we tonight. Do. We know there'll be a show tonight.
Yes.
Tonight. But we don't know if there'll be one on the holiday.
Wow.
So we'll let you know tonight, okay? Just tune in to the TMS PM, and you'll find out, gosh dang it.
Oh, you'll know. We'll
Calm
tell
down.
You. We'll happily tell you. It's okay. You don't have to worry.
Yeah, top off your coffee, suck on a chicken, everything's fine. All right, Brian.
Yes.
By the way, that PM edition brought to you by patreon.com/TMS, where you can support us and keep that sort of thing going. Have we told you we have a preliminary date for the big contest game show deal? I think we have.
Oh, do we have a date?
Well, we kind of picked one. We're not going to say the date yet, but I think we have a preliminary date. We'll let you know coming up, but let's just say it's in October.
Yeah. We know the month. Sure.
We know the month. I am so looking forward to October. We've already talked about this, but...
Well, sure. You're just looking forward to October because it's not September.
It's not September and it isn't August. I mean, there are a few reasons. Main reason, the wedding's over. Life moves on. Second biggest reason is I have no major things planned to give me a bunch of stress. I can just kind of do what I got to do. It's going to be a creative month. It'll be fall. The leaves will be changing. I can feed that stupid goose, but I can wear a sweater while I do it. There's a lot to look forward to in October, and I love Halloween, and I'm stoked about that month.
Yeah.
So up and coming, that's going to be rad. And then in November, everything goes crazy again. So let's just do what we can right now to enjoy ourselves. Brian, I got some fun for you this morning. You ready for this?
Bring it on. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's jump things.
I got a couple of lists. I like lists. You like lists.
Well, I don't know if I like them as much as I've just grown to accept them because the internet is made of lists.
It's part of your life, right?
It really is. It's a big open bracket, UL closed bracket.
You know, in a way, you got to admire BuzzFeed because at one point they just said, you know what? Let's embrace the fact that we've got these stupid lists and have an entire menu category at the top of our page prominently displayed called lists.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They do.
They've turned things into lists that normally wouldn't be lists.
You correct. Know, like, I'll give you an example.
Like, yeah.
Like I click the lists link and here's what you get. Tell me if any of these jump out to you.
Okay.
16 truly terrifying 5-word horror stories. Okay.
All right.
31 overly honest scientist problems. 18 things everyone with mono is tired of hearing.
I like that these are, they've really had to delve, you know, put a fine narrow point on what these lists are.
Yep. How about this one?
16 things you should know before you open a Heath bar.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely worthless information. 44 yeah. medieval beasts that cannot even handle it right now is the one of them on here. 19 childish insults you need back in your life. Let's actually glance at those.
Okay, I'd like to hear that one, yeah.
All right. Number one, I know you are, but what am I? All right. And by the way, these are always now accompanied with animated GIFs. That's how they do it
now. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Number two, if you like it so much, why don't you marry it? 3, that's minging. What is minging?
Minging?
Minging.
Minging?
Minging? M-I-N-G-I-N-G. Is that minging? No, there's no D in there. Or I guess it still could be minging.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
4. You look nice. Not. Remember that?
Wow. We're bringing not back.
Yeah.
We bring back swing and.
How about takes one to know one, Brian? Like, geez. Oh, that guy's got a funny butt. Ah, takes one to know one.
I'm kind of disappointed in their list of things like that to bring back. It's really just, you know. 14 things you probably said as a child.
Yeah, that's more like what this list is. Like this dumb one. Why are you such a scaredy cat? That's stupid.
Why are you hitting yourself?
Yeah. She who says it is. What? She who says it is it.
Oh, she who says it is it.
Oh, they should have put a comma in there.
It's he who smelt it dealt it kind
of thing. Okay. Oh, I actually kind of missed that one. Can you hear a buzzing noise as one of them? What does that mean?
What?
These really? Are terrible. So this is my point.
Wait. Can you hear a buzzing noise? Is yeah. like a childish insult?
Yes. What is that from? Do you hear a buzzing noise?
I don't know.
I'm telling is another one.
Burned me, man. Oh, burned.
How about no way, Jose? Really?
21 reasons. Sorry, I just saw another list here. 21 reasons why the ice bucket challenge needs to end now.
Yeah. How about 21 reasons why they keep saying that on BuzzFeed, but then keep posting ice bucket challenges? They're killing me over there on BuzzFeed.
Right.
Did you see the picture I put up? It showed like 7 or six, whatever it was, 5 or 6 BuzzFeed. Here, I'm going to find this because it just pissed me off. Hold on. BuzzFeed. And I said something to the effect of they have. Oh, I tweet too much and it's hard for me to find it. Oh, here it is. Okay, so I wrote, I think BuzzFeed has short-term memory loss. I'm going to send you this.
Okay.
Hold on. Here we go. Copy tweet. Hold on. This is annoying radio. There you go. Click that. Okay. And for those at home, it shows, I just copied and pasted, screen capped 4 different examples of stuff that's in the same exact list on BuzzFeed. The top one says,
I like how your top box even looks like a
BuzzFeed list.
Like a BuzzFeed list top. Yeah, it's great.
So I said, the first one says, shut it down. Britney Spears just won the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. Second one below that, well, the Ice Bucket Challenge is officially over thanks to Patrick Stewart. Next one says, Benedict Cumberbatch has made the most important Ice Bucket Challenge video of all. And finally, we can all stop making Ice Bucket Challenge videos because Chris Pratt is the best. Do you have the memory of a freaking flea, BuzzFeed?
Now, to be honest, each of these was written by a different person.
Yes.
But still, I'm not defending BuzzFeed. I'm not, if you're 15 reasons why I'm not defending BuzzFeed.
Yeah, but this is true. If that's the case, this is truly, does the left hand know what the hell the right hand's doing at BuzzFeed?
Is there not an editor, a curator?
Is there oversight of any sort happening at BuzzFeed?
Well, that's funny.
Anyway, the point is none of this. I actually
you
found
can
a good
stop
list.
Stop making ALS Ice Bucket videos because Brian Ibbett just made one in a coconut bra and grass skirt. And it's the most important one of all.
Did you actually do it? Is it over? Did you do it?
I'm doing it tomorrow.
I still really want to see it.
It's been like 65, 70 degrees here in Colorado and raining. I'm not doing it in the rain.
No, that's a good point.
Tomorrow is supposed to be sunny, and I've even got a nice little place picked out.
Shut it down, everybody. Brian Ibbett just made the most important ice bucket challenge of all.
All right, here's the list I actually did enjoy that they posted.
The list, yes.
This is the point. Six things you didn't know about Ghostbusters. All right?
Okay.
I'm going to lay it on you now.
All right.
Are you prepared? Are you ready to receive it?
I'm not sitting down, but okay. I don't. So.
All right, good. I am actually sitting today. Here it goes. Number one, Dan Aykroyd was inspired to write Ghostbusters due to his great-grandfather, grandfather, and father all having a big interest in the paranormal. Okay, fine. That one's okay. There's nothing really big deal there.
And number his mother was a hitman, and that's what inspired him to do Gross Point Blank.
Yeah, right. And his dad died with a TV on his head, and that's how... oh, that movie. So good. I want to watch that movie all the time. Every time it comes up, I want to watch it. I think that says something about how good that movie is.
You should probably own it. That's probably you should own it.
I should. Yeah. Why don't I own that?
Why don't you own that?
I might actually own...
Blu-ray with a director's commentary from... John Cusack's friend, who's in every one of his movies, played Ari Gold.
Not Booger, but the other guy.
Yeah.
I know who you mean.
Yeah.
Booger's only in one of his movies, so I don't know why I brought Booger up. I do have it on DVD, I should say. It's just buried somewhere. I don't know where. Okay. It's in a box. John Belushi was originally envisioned to play the role of Peter Venkman, but he died before production started. So originally...
Peter was, Bill Murray's character.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, holy cow.
I can kind of see it, though. Jeremy, I can kind of see him being also, you know, dogs and cats living together. I can totally see it.
Yeah.
It's not, wow, I'm telling you, I'm saying I'm glad it's Bill Murray, but.
I'm glad it's Bill Murray. Yeah. I'm not glad John Belushi's dead, but no. I'm glad it's Bill Murray.
I mean, if you ask me, the wrong Belushi died. Anyway, moving on.
Oh,
zing.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's terrible, Scott. What kind of thing would you say on a podcast? That's what are you saying?
That's what ruined Ray Charles. Let's talk like that. Did you not see the movie Ray?
I saw the movie Ray.
All right.
I didn't learn my lesson, though. Three, the movie did pay tribute to Belushi by basing the character on Slimer. On him. Slimer. You know Slimer?
Definitely wouldn't be a role that John Belushi would...
Hey, now you're Uncle, just kicking dirt on that
because,
grave. Jeez.
That isn't dead.
Okay, all right. Not always. Four, Eddie Murphy turned down the role of Winston in Ghostbusters to star in Beverly Hills Cop. He was almost the token character. He was almost the black guy.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. Oh, by the way, yeah, it was, sorry, Irony Man, you're exactly right. It was Walk the Line, not Ray.
Oh, wait, Walk the Line? Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, because Johnny Cash's brother died, and his father's like, why couldn't it have been you?
You got your musical biopic mixed up there.
I know. See, that's people are like, why doesn't Brian watch more biopics? Well, that's why, because I suck at them.
What's the deal? I love that
movie. They're all one big blur.
We're watching part of Gladiator the other day, just because I was trying to show the kids how cool it is, and then I had to turn it off because it was too late, and they had to go to bed. Mm. And so we watched that first little battle against the Germanians. And my daughter goes, who's that guy? And I go, who? She goes, that guy with the big weird hole in his lip. And I said, oh, that's Joaquin Phoenix. You know him because you saw Her. And she goes, oh, that's on his lip? And I said, yeah, it's like a scar or something. And she goes, ew. And I'm like, really? You're just going to yell, ew? And his poor mishap, whatever happened there? I don't even know what happened. Right. It's not like a cleft palate, I think. It's something else, right? Like a...
I don't know, actually.
We could find out. The internet will tell us.
Somebody
chat room, get on that, okay? So Eddie Murphy turned down Winston. All right, that's where we were. Number five, the film's director, Ivan Reitman, voiced both Slimer and Zool. Hmm. That's something you didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Brian...
I'm trying to think of... So Slimer was just like... Ah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's pretty good Slimer you just did.
Yeah.
Vince Gilligan, Slimer, and you do a pretty good walking. let's see. Okay, number six is the big one.
My Borgnine, man. Come on.
Your Borgnine's pretty good.
My Borgnine.
Let's say you see me in a mall. I'm standing there with my wallet out, and you would say to me, as Ernest Borgnine, what do you say to me?
Got $50.
Ah, see? And I'd say, here you go. Here's your $50.
See? Perfect.
Sixth and final here. Iconic porn star Ron Jeremy. I almost said Jeremy Irons.
The hedgehog.
That's right. The human hedgehog. who's always got his wiener out. Iconic porn star Ron Jeremy makes a cameo as an extra in the crowd, so you got to watch very carefully. In fact, I think I saw a screenshot. Ron Jeremy and me, Ghostbusters. Okay.
It's not like the... Oh, yeah, sure enough. Yep. Oh, he's not... It's not even like, you know, he's buried in the crowd. He's
right up in there.
He's right up in there.
And it's during the heyday. Like, this is when he would have been a big time, not squishy, gross little man time.
Right. Well, no.
Well, he was always squishy and gross.
He was a squishy, gross little man, but...
But what was the idea? What were we thinking back then? I mean, if you look at him when he's younger... I can kind of see
I think people back then were watching porn and saying, well, if that guy can get that hot chick, certainly I can.
You think that was the point of it then? You think that's why he hit it
why
so
they,
big?
Why they hired Ron Jeremy?
Yeah. He always looks, to me, looks like one of those guys that you always saw in pictures when they were attacking Iraq the first time. And they like would wake up one of the old Iraqi heads of whatever in the middle of the night. He always looked like that.
One of the deck of cards?
Yeah, one of the decks. He looks like to me. Anyway, that cracks me up.
I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
Bob's Burgers has pulled ahead of Archer by two votes. Keeping you guys informed here on our big animated thing.
He doesn't like either one, right?
No, he hates both. He likes Futurama a lot, as do I, which is in third place right now, but it's kind of a distant third. Hmm. I'd put Bob's Burgers. I'd put Futurama. You know, if you hold a gun to my head and say, there's only one of these shows you can take with you and watch for the end of time, I think I'm taking Futurama with me.
Yeah.
So I'm with him on that, but I think Bob's Burgers is amazing, and I think Archer's good too, and I think he's smoking crack. All right, back to the point here. I got some bonus stuff for you. Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back. The good one. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the great one. They're all good. But that's the great one.
Yes, the one that rises above all, the cream that rises to the surface.
The hump in the original camel. Right? Right.
Correct.
Here is a couple of facts you didn't know. In the early drafts of Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, Yoda's name was Buffy.
No.
Yep. Buffy. Little Buffy.
Buffy the Sith Slayer.
Yeah, Buffy the Sith Slayer. Little Buffy the smart little freaking Jedi Master, man.
Good Lord.
Isn't that terrible?
That is terrible.
So I'm glad Yoda is kind of weird anyway, but Buffy, just terrible.
Oh my gosh.
51. This is the 51 in their big giant list.
Okay. The reason
Han Solo was frozen in carbonite was because Harrison Ford had not signed on to do a third film, Return of the Jedi. Had Ford not agreed to do the third film, the carbonite would have been the way to use to kill off the character. That was going to be his death.
Nice.
Yep. So when he was frozen in that stuff, and she said, "I love you," and he goes, "I know," and they put him in the thing.
Could have been his last words. Yeah.
That could have been it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's my frozen. Gosh.
He's in perfect hibernation. Oh wait. Oh no. Dead.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, oh my, what have we here?
This has not happened before.
He's dead.
We've only tried.
He's no good to me dead. Well, sorry.
Sorry, because it turns out he's dead. Where's that weird little short guy I got to fly in the ship with now? Where's that guy?
Where's the guy with the earmuffs with the LEDs on him?
Yeah.
Lobot, come over here.
Come here.
What are you listening to?
Ah, my cyborg pal. You know what? Lando's the greatest character in Star Wars history. Let's just admit it.
He really is.
He's the best.
He's a cape, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's a good guy with a cape.
Yep. He's right. He's great. Han! Han!
We have to save Han!
You know what? That would have all gone badly, though. I mean, think about it. If they were really going to kill the character off, there was a lot of huffing and puffing to get him out of there.
Sure.
And it would all been for naught.
They could have just walked off Bespin and been done. Like, you know, okay, we're all done here. Yep. Bye.
See you guys. Let's take one of those cool dually.
He would probably still have his hand, right? Because he wouldn't have. He would have seen Leia, and they said, "No, no, we're leaving. We're leaving."
Yep.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll come with you.
See ya. Bye, everybody. Lobot, you got the keys. You're good, buddy. See ya. Hey, what happened to the? You remember the ship, the little twofer ship that they flew around that place?
The little Bespin guard ship.
What do you call? Okay, so
it looks like basically if you took a motorcycle with a sidecar
and replaced
the motorcycle part with a sidecar.
Yeah, like sidecar and sidecar.
Right.
Oh, I used to love those.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to be a kid again. All right, let's move on there. Those are fun lists. We've enjoyed ourselves. That leaves us with nothing more than to call Daryl and confront him about his hatred of animated TV.
let's really pin him down, shall we?
Let's rub some salt into his wounds and do what we do best.
Oh, hey, we got to ask him too. If we're doing TMS PM, we got to see if he's doing the Sprite Banana Challenge.
That's right, dude. Okay, well, let's play this and do this right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
Hey, Scott, questions for you. Are you on Vine?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy six-second covers of today's hit music?
Of course I do.
I do, too. Help an up-and-coming musician break into the Vine music scene. I did not know there was a Vine music scene. And check out my Vine channel for daily covers of your favorite songs. Search for Patrick Shelton and feel the love flowing from my silky smooth sound.
Gross.
That's Patrick Shelton on Vine.
Gross. No, that sounds great.
That actually sounds fantastic.
This is where, I mean, Vine is, you know, it's a treasure trove of terrible, but also there's some good stuff. Like occasionally you get this.
Zert.
And you just, can you?
Was that Vine also?
It was. It was. I got it off Vine. It was Daryl talking about his phaser on Vine.
Zert.
And I can't get enough of Zert.
Zert.
Someone should make a song. Come on. Creative people listening to the show. What are you doing? You got time on your hands.
1330.
It's Daryl who was just this just let go from NBC as the worst executive in charge of animation choices, and it's because he just doesn't know a good show when he sees it. He's on the show to talk about Star Trek and Star Trek trivia. Now, before we get too far here, the poll right now is still neck and neck with Bob's Burgers and Archer, 93 and 92. Bob's Burgers at number one, Archer at number two, Futurama at a distant third, about half of those votes, but it's in third place. Then South Park, then The Simpsons, then something else, which we, you know, because I couldn't put everything in here. And that probably includes a lot of people who are voting for, like, I don't know, other
Adventure
shows.
Time. Or,
sure. And I don't know if those are considered prime time or not, so that's why I made that category.
Oh, right. Prime time is the key. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I agree, those are rad shows and they should be up higher. Family Guy, yes,
okay.
7.
Twin Pod Cloud Cars. Okay, people. Twin Pod Cloud Cars.
There you go. Twin Pod Cloud Car. Twin Pod Cloud Car. Clark. 7% for Family Guy. That's seems like the waning, there's a lot of waning love for that show. I think people are a little tired of the McFarlane train, don't you think? You're getting that impression? I am. People just a little pooped on McFarlane.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not going to go on or it won't get a resurgence or whatever. I mean, he's already had one of those.
But yeah, but there is something. You might be right.
I'm not even saying this stuff's bad. I think people just, like, people that say they think The Simpsons isn't good anymore, I think that's more about them just not being into it anymore because it's been on for a long time and they're just kind of sick of it. Mm-hmm. So I think we're about ready for that with McFarlane. Anyway, BoJack Horseman at a paltry 2% at number 8. So there you go. What do you think?
That just started out. The BoJack thing. That's new this week, I think.
Oh yeah, no, I know. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a low vote because no one likes it. I think it's because hardly anyone's seen it. But
what's with Futurama being half the votes of the other one?
I agree with you. I would have put that higher. In fact, if it were me, it would be right up there with Bob's Burgers. And if it were truly me, it would be just ahead of it. I mean, it's my favorite animated show of all time. But I do believe, with my heart of hearts, Bob's Burgers deserves where it is.
Yeah,
it's good. It's funny, and all these people on Twitter are like, it gives you this false sense of victory for Daryl because someone will pipe up and go, I agree with Daryl. I watched 2 episodes and I freaking hated it.
Ice Swarm doesn't like it.
Well, Ice Swarm likes wrestling, so there's your answer there. I still have pictures of Ron Jeremy up.
So his taste is suspect.
Yeah, it's a little suspect. All right, so that's one thing. Second thing is, are you gonna do the Sprite Banana thing tonight or no?
Oh, Bob's Burgers just went to second place.
Oh, did it for once in the poll's history. Oh, look at that. You're right.
It's falling fast.
Archer. Well, it's got one vote below Archer.
I don't know about falling fast.
Jeez, Fox News. Slow down over there a little bit. If you want to vote in this, by the way, and you're listening live right now, strawpoll.me/2437987. And that's it. Go vote.
I never remember all those numbers.
I know.
I'm terrible with numbers.
I'm terrible with numbers as well. But you should vote.
Sure somebody will put it in the chat room.
I just voted.
Use your 30-second rewind now.
Oh, Archer's up by still one. It's only one. All right. So let's what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So you going to do it or not? What's your plan?
Yeah. I have to get Sprite today, and I'll do that.
Okay. Are you going to at least so Brian and I and the YouTube viewers at home, are you going to do this on video so we can see you do it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm still stoked for this. This is going to be fantastic. If you listen to the show via the podcast, you'll have to just trust our descriptions and then go check out the YouTube video later. Daryl? Oh, by the way, quick piece of business because that reminded me of something on YouTube. So the solution is this to when YouTube goes, oh, you're playing music you don't have the rights to, even though we do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way for them to know that or to fix it.
Right.
The solution has been, because that's a pain, because then you can't see it on mobile, and there's like countries you can't see it in, and there's all kinds of problems with it. So what we have opted to do, and what I started to do, is there is an option in there to mute the entire song. After the fact on YouTube, you can just remove the song, the offending song, from the YouTube archive.
Does it mute it, or does it just snip that section out?
It mutes it, so it's just dead air for 3 minutes.
So it's it's just us sitting there staring blankly at the camera for 3 minutes.
With no sound at all.
Dancing to nothing.
I wish they would let... That would be great. Like some kind of insert music, that would be awesome. Anyway, that's the way we can make it so that people aren't getting screwed. So that's the only solution we have for now. If something better pops up, we'll let you know, but... The one thing I don't have time for is a bunch of post-editing where I take it out and do all that. I just don't have time.
Yeah. That's,
so we'll let you know. All right, Daryl, let's get to your question. It's Star Trek related, of course. You're the Star Trek nerd. And you come on here and you answer Star Trek questions. And here's your question. In the original series episode, Arena, Kirk battles the Gorn. He battles the groin.
That's probably pretty frequent, actually.
Spock, I've got a firm grip on the groin. Later in the episode, the Gorn gets a translator and speaks to Kirk. The Gorn mentions the Federation establishing an outpost on a planet in their space. What planet was the outpost on? Was it on Cestus 3? Was it on Argus X, 10, I guess? Was it Viagra? What? Oh, Vagra 2. Vagra 2? Okay. Or D, Macus 4. Macus 4? Macus? Which way do you say it?
Macus? Macus? Probably, I'd say Macus.
Probably Macus, right? So again, that Cestus 3, Argus 10, Vagra 2, or Macus, whatever, 4. All right, while you're thinking about that. Ah, dang it, I was going to pick food before we started. I totally forgot. All right, well, anyway, here's this, right here.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Well, that's a foodie.
What do you guys want to eat? I have many things.
You found that. So you found that thing of chocolates.
I did find the chockets, as my daughter used to say when she was little.
Chockets.
So let's do that one. All right. I'm gonna go grab it. Hang on.
Oh, that thing of chocolates.
While you're grabbing it, I'll say that this comes to us from Bill Dixon from Scottsboro, Alabama. It says, "Here's some confections that I bought in Lynchburg, Tennessee. I hope that you like them. I started playing World of Warcraft in April 2009. It wasn't long after that I discovered the instance and then the morning stream. I hope you enjoy the sampler from Nina's from Lynchburg, Tennessee."
Yep, and I thought it said ninjas when I first pulled it out.
That explains why you didn't find it right away.
I know, right? It was hiding very quietly on the roof.
So the only one that we've officially tried on the show, Daryl, I will show off that my box is completely filled except for one, which is even surprising because now that we've sampled one, I could finish off the row. I could Tetris that whole row out.
Tetris it out?
Tetris that whole row out.
That's awesome.
But the only one that we've tried is the row that's got the one with the white stripes and the whole Seven Nation Army therein.
Taste of Tennessee. That's what it is. Tennessee Williams' wife would say after they made out a lot.
How do I get rid of the taste of Tennessee?
I can't get this taste of Tennessee out of my mouth. All right, hold on. I gotta get some skizzers. All right, we're gonna open this. I haven't opened it. You guys already opened yours.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got these though. And thanks again, Bill Dixon.
So did it just arrive?
Boy, is that not the most American name of all time? Bill Dixon. Bill Dixon came into town. His horse needed water and he needed rest. But there wasn't time for that.
Oh, no, with the Mendoza boys.
No, they Mendoza.
Causing trouble in town.
And you know what? The Mendozas, they haunt every era, every genre. If there was a post-apocalyptic Mad Max story, you could put the Mendozas in there, too. I got to get the Mendozas.
They were in the holodeck, too, at one point.
The Mendozas? Probably,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, so I don't know which one to do. You guys tell me. I'm just looking at, random crap here.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't think there's a thing that says there's what no the card. Flavors are.
It's just winging it. I really like the middle row, which has got, chocolate and then a lighter chocolate drizzle on it.
Yeah, it looks like a light brown on a dark brown.
Yeah. That looks really good to me.
Let's do that.
Try one of those. I'll do one in the middle. Are they all the same? I assume they are.
Well, all that row is the same, yeah.
Okay. All right, here we go.
I've made sure I have one left of each of these. So this would be the last one of these.
Mm. That's really good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, these are good. Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that is good.
Tennessee tuxedo. Wasn't that
Don Adams.
Don Adams, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's back when all TV people also did a voice in a cartoon somewhere, and it was always based on their other popular TV thing. You know, like that voice of that Tennessee tuxedo was basically,
Maxwell Smart. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to love that these show. Are made with whiskey. However, there's no alcohol still in them. It's all.
I don't even taste any kind of hint of it.
Okay, good.
I guess.
It's cooked out.
Mm-hmm.
Fudge and candy made with Tennessee whiskey. Lynchburg sounds like a bad town, doesn't it?
Really?
Lynchburg? Yeah. I was reading this story about the only, there's this this really interesting piece of historical something about the only black man to ever survive a lynching. Because I went down this rabbit hole on why the hell were we lynching people? Like just how awful were we at one point? Or were, you know, not everybody obviously, but you know, when was there a time where even the law kind of turned a blind eye to lynching? It just blows my mind. Anyway, there's this guy who died in 05, I think, at age 92. So he lived a long time.
Oh, wow.
But was you know, strung up to be lynched and survived it. And he is a super interesting guy. Anyway, I got a real kick out of that. But I would That's not awesome. Name my town Lynchburg is all I'm getting
No,
at.
No, it's a bad, yeah. By the way, I'm on the Nina's Taste of Tennessee website. Their slogan is, put some South in your mouth.
Oh, wow. That's great. Hopefully it gives us all a case of
diabetes.
All right, great. Daryl, it's a hit of birthday. Who got older?
That would be, Ken Jenkins. He's 74 today. He was Dr. Paul Stubbs on the TNG Season 3 episode Evolution, and he was Dr. Bob Kelso on Scrubs.
Oh, that guy, right.
Comedy that I don't find funny. But
I find sometimes funny. Scrubs is hit and miss for me. But I think he's pretty funny on there. But I found him completely and utterly annoying on Star Trek. I did not like his character at all.
Oh yeah, right.
He drove me up a tree. But Scrubs is okay. It's all right. Well, let me think of something you might not like that everyone else likes. I'm going to try to guess here. You probably are not a fan of Arrested Development.
You are correct.
See, I'm telling you.
Wow.
You know what, Daryl? I figured it out. I just figured it out. Daryl doesn't.
I haven't even figured it out.
He doesn't like TV shows without a sound or without a laugh track in it.
No.
Because he doesn't like Big Bang Theory. You don't like Big Bang Theory or
no.
A guy today. Like, oh my gosh! I got a tweet the other day where he was brought up the Big Bang Theory thing, and he goes, "Scott, you say you don't like Big Bang Theory because it's fake. I got news for you. All television is fake." And I wrote back and I said, I didn't say I don't like it because it's manufactured and written and not real.
Not a reality.
It's because the nerds in it are fake. They're doing what some people refer to as nerd blackface. I've heard this a couple of times.
They're extending the stereotype to its extreme.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. It's the portrayal. I know that television isn't real. I'm aware of it.
That said, the guy who owns the comic book store, dead ringer for the guy who works at Colorado Coin Bar in Arvada here.
Oh, really? The one in Big Bang Theory?
Yeah.
I like that guy. He was
the same guy.
He was in Hitch, by the way, because I had to watch Hitch because my daughters wanted to watch Hitch the other day. Ugh. I freaking hate Hitch. But anyway, he's in Hitch. He's one of the early success stories for Will Smith's stupid idea of making men more attractive or whatever.
Mm.
That movie sucks. All right. Daryl, do you like Hitch? Do you like Hitch at all?
I have no idea.
Well, watch it, and then you and I will definitely agree on how bad that is. We can put this messy animation thing behind us. By the way, Bob's Burgers back ahead at 106 votes to Archer's 104. So take that, 27%.
One of those votes was mine.
All right.
Don't get me wrong, I love Archer, and if anyone who saw the Frog Pants All-Stars opening video would know that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some real love for Archer there.
That's right.
Aren't those people doing something at DragonCon with Nicole?
They are, yes. Yeah, and John Strickland said, oh, man, they were looking forward to meeting you. I was like, oh, crap. Oh. I'll be there in 2015.
Yeah, Brian will be there in 2015. I'm not saying
Buying my rooms. Buying my rooms. All right. Back off.
Fine. What's the heat like there right now?
318, I think.
With the humidity? Okay.
Yeah. but it only feels like 297. Of course. So it's not too bad. Yeah.
It's a dry hell. It's a dry hell.
Yeah. No, it's a hot, wet hell.
Hot, wet hell. Daryl, your chance is now to answer this question. And I think you already know it, which is the embarrassing thing about all this, what we do here, which is he knows most of these answers before they even come. Which of these planets do you think this Gorn says was his? The Cestus 3, the Argus 10, the Vagra 2, or the Macus 4?
Well, it was a planet where there was this big, huge restaurant, and Kirk and company beamed down to have dinner at this fancy place, and it's all blown up, and it's Cestus 3.
Cestus 3, you say? Let's find out.
Zert.
Congratulations. Yep. You're a winner.
You got it. There's a clip of this happening. This is Gorn talking to Kirk. So here you go. Right here.
Captain.
Who is this? The Metron?
This is your opponent, Earthling. I have heard every word you have said.
All right. What do you want?
I weary of the chase. Wait for me. I shall be merciful and quick.
Like you were at Cestus 3?
You were intruding. You established an outpost in our space.
You butchered helpless human beings.
We destroyed invaders, as I shall destroy you.
So is he a snake man? Because he S's that whole thing through.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you're lizard-like, you're kind of snake-like.
What would this guy sound like? Yeah. Probably a lot of hissing because he's kind of reptilian.
That's right. I like the emphasis on the end at the end of that. Daryl, you are the emphasis at the end of this. Nice job. Way to go. You did it. And pretty good week, I think. You only got one wrong, I think. Did you even get one wrong? I don't remember now. I don't know.
Oh, I must have.
You might have.
I don't know.
You have successfully traversed the land known as Stumpy Truck Nerd.
Oh, it was Monday's technical poopiness. Oh, that's right. What we're thinking of.
Oh, Monday's technical
that's
poopiness.
Right. Dunaway killed your perfect week.
Yeah, he didn't even come close, that Dunaway. You're the Trek Nerd on Twitter. Follow him there. You can also find him at TheSecondTrekTheSecondTrekTheSecondTrekTheSecondTrek and the Grumpy Guest. Okay.
Wow.
Now we're going to play a game called What the Hell You Got There? What do you got?
Star Trek character.
I'd rather play a game called What the Hell You Got There?
What the hell you got there? Can we call the new trivia thing that, Brian?
What the hell you got there?
Frog Pants presents What the Hell You Got There? All right. Sorry. What is it?
Sorry, Daryl. Go ahead.
That'd be a good video game.
I agree.
Anyway, yeah. Star Trek character or anime character.
All right, here's your theme.
Okay.
That's Wendy last week. All right, so what is it? Star Trek character or what?
Anime character.
All right.
Alyssa Ogawa.
Alyssa mm-hmm. Ogawa.
I'll say Star Trek because that sounds like I'm being fooled.
Yeah. All right. Let's stick to our Star Trek guns.
All right. Trek.
I like it when you think you're being fooled and then I reverse it, but it's not happening this time because you're right. It's a nurse aboard the Enterprise.
No, he's such a freaking.
Golly, you twisted around, you little twisty.
Twister twisty. That was my Twisted Sister thing.
Well done, yes.
Cover album thing. What?
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by. Oh, sorry.
No, that's all right. There's good There's good podcasting, and then there's theweeklybleep.com, now with more squeaky chair noises.
There's good pasta.
Pasta.
I like it. Some good pasta sounds great
pasta.
Right now.
I guess I'm hungry.
You know, yeah, pasta and I, that's my fat food. I got to stay away from pasta. Mm. Doesn't help my weight gain.
Nope.
By the way, I got to have lunch with Eric Van Skyhawk yesterday.
Oh, how was that?
It was lovely. He brought Carmen with him. She She's fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's been with her for a while, and I think they're... He made some comments. He says, my future mother-in-law. I think that means that they're going to get married, but they never maybe officially said anything. Or maybe I'm blowing it right now by saying that. I don't know. But she's awesome. She's wonderful. Cool. And he brought his two boys with him, and we just had lunch, and it was lovely. We got to hang out, and it was great.
Great. So good that he can make it out for lunch with you.
Yeah.
And not, you know... lunch and dinner and drinks and fun and weekend with everybody for Nurtacular.
Right, isn't that convenient? Eric. Yeah, thanks, buddy.
We saw who you rate. Yeah,
actually, exactly. It's this trip that screwed that up because it was a family thing because his family all lives out here. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't schedule it for July because of his work stuff. So, yeah, gotcha. He says they'll be there next year for sure.
All right, okay.
Assuming there is one, Eric. Who knows?
Just like I'll for sure be at Dragon Con next year.
Yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. I will now no longer say anything about anything, or else my friends rake me over the coals. All right.
I'll hold you to it.
The news. Study says trash burning causes serious health problems. You know, once in a while we get a science topic where I feel like it should be obvious.
Yeah.
Trash burning causes health problems. Hmm.
Wow, really? So burning those toxic chemicals and then inhaling the smoke inadvertently causes bad things to happen?
Well, I don't want to shock you, Brian, but yes. The answer to your question is yes.
Wow.
More than 40% of trash produced around the world today is burned without regulation or oversight in a process that damages public health and contributes to climate change. My brother-in-law and my sister were just in Jakarta, Indonesia, and that's what they do there. People, even in some of the nicer neighborhoods, you don't have garbage pickup. You don't have infrastructure for that. You put it out on the front of your house or out in the front there. And then like once or twice a week, people go out and just set the whole thing on fire.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
oh,
real good.
Fabulous.
Really good. Yeah. No wonder they're just awesome over there sometimes. Actually,
oh, not good for you.
They said the food, everything is fried there. And my brother-in-law can't eat fried food, so he was having a great time. Let's see. More than 40%. I think that's right. Ken, you can clear me up if I told the story wrong. Maybe it's that they burn fried food in front of everyone. I don't know what it is. Who knows? More than, let's see. Process of public health. And that this is not only damaging public health, but also contributing to climate change. According to a new study in the National Center for Atmospheric Research, air pollution, this is a quote, across much of the globe is significantly underestimated because no one is tracking open fire burning of trash, says NCAR researcher and lead author of the study, Christine Winder-Ningerberger, in a statement. The uncontrolled burning of trash is a major source of pollutants and is one that we should that should receive more attention. Mercury and
Polycyclic.
Polycyclic. That would be like polymers and plastics and stuff, right?
Yeah.
aromatic hydrocarbons, a type of particle created during burnings, are among the potent materials released from the unregulated burnings that have been linked to health problems like neurological disorders, cancer, and heart problems. Yeah, we shouldn't burn our trash.
No,
I think we got to come up. Yeah, we got to come up with something better than that.
Big slingshot, send it into the sun.
Yeah. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Easy.
We'll ask Wendy.
Easy to do.
We'll ask Wendy what the fancy Swedes do with their garbage.
Oh, I bet they recycle like crazy. I bet they're all over it.
Bunch of green hippies. Southwest Airlines lost an old lady.
Oh.
You fly Southwest much? Do you do that? Do you fly them?
I don't. No, I'm a frontier. I'm a frontier man.
Frontier man.
I don't want FOP. I'm a frontier man.
So the reason I don't like Southwest Airlines has simply to do with when they, I don't know if they still do this, but they used to have planes where they had the facing seats.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Rubbing knees with some dude.
Staring at the same person for the entirety of your flight.
I don't like that at all.
I don't mind that if, you know, if you're in a group of four, it's kind of nice. It's like, all right, we can all sit and, you know, look at each other.
If you're friends and buddies, yeah.
Pull our tray tables out and we can play a game of something. But
yeah, but they don't have, you don't have tray tables in that mode, do you? With the four
of you? Don't they come out of the armrest?
Oh,
it's been a long time since I fly.
Maybe.
Since I flew Southwest. They also do the thing where you don't order your seat. You just get on the plane and pick a seat.
Yeah, it's like the way you have to do movie theaters in where you live.
Oh, back in the dark ages of movie theaters.
That's right.
Seats.
Yes. And like here, where we reserve them like civilized people.
That's right.
Well, they misplaced luggage all the time, but Southwest Airlines is under fire now for losing a 85-year-old lady.
HuffPo.
After
tell from that, I can tell they lose luggage all the time.
Yeah,
but they've never lost an old lady.
As you always say, HuffPo, you can smell it a sentence away. After visiting her daughter, Alice Vaticano, 85, was flying home to Denver from Newark Liberty International Airport in New Jersey. SkyCap, working on behalf of Southwest Airlines, promised to take Valeka Keiko, whatever her name is, to in her wheelchair directly to the gate, but actually abandoned her along the way. Vaticano, as I should just say it right.
Right.
Vaticano. Missed her flight and was stuck in Newark for 11 hours. That's a long time to be in Jersey for no reason.
Yeah.
She pushed me and left me there, says she told CBS Denver. I was just sitting there all day in a wheelchair.
Oh, no.
Vaticano, who reportedly has
diabetes.
She was confined in a wheelchair without food or a chance to use the restrooms before she was finally noticed by airline employees, according to her daughter, Donna Vaticano.
Wow.
Yeah, it sucks. Don't do that to old people.
It sucks. And the fact that nobody knows her, but also the fact, I wonder if she actually said, hey, I've been sitting here for a while. Can somebody help me? Or if she just sat there for 11 hours and looked outside at the lovely Newark skyline.
I think if you're 85 and you're a little bit, you're a little bit proud, you want to be as independent as you can. You don't want to just go, oh, I need help all the time. Yeah. I think they dropped the ball on this.
She didn't push her little life alert bracelet.
No. We need to take care of our older people.
I'm in Newark. And I can't get up.
I did this the other night. We have this deal. For the 22 almost years we've been married, this Friday, by the way, tomorrow, 22 mm-hmm. years.
Aww. Congratulations.
She says I've made her laugh every day since the wedding. Every single day I've made her laugh at least once. Even on hard, terrible days, I've made her laugh.
In other words, she laughs at you every day.
She laughs at me every day.
let's call a spade here.
But not normally at 4 o'clock in the morning. Because the other day when I was dealing with that, when I hurt my back doing those weights, when I woke up in the, 3:30 or 4 in the morning, I kind of fell out of bed and bonked something loud because I couldn't get up straight. And she goes, are you okay? She woke up and she goes, you okay? And I said, I've fallen and I can't get up. And I made her laugh at 3:30 in the morning. That was the first time in the history of our marriage that I made her laugh that early.
Done.
That's pretty hard to do, I think, because no one wants to laugh at 3:30. Anyway, there's that lady. She's dealing with what she's got to deal with, and we're going to tell you all about our friends at HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh.com. Brian, do you like fresh food?
I love fresh food. It's my favorite kind of food.
Do you like it when it's fresh and also easily makeable in like 30 minutes or less?
That's actually my second type of favorite food, is easily makeable and fresh.
Well, good, because I got you covered here with HelloFresh.com, where they have real recipes from real chefs, and in 30 minutes or less, you take those farm fresh ingredients they send straight to your door, and you make that amazing meal and blow everyone's mind within earshot. HelloFresh.com is the place to go check out if they deliver to you, and it's quite likely they do, and if they don't yet, they will soon. Use MorningStream at checkout for 50% off for first-time customers. At HelloFresh.com. Do it today.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
Ever consider how much your smartphone knows about you?
No.
Where you go?
No.
Who you talk to?
No.
Passwords for all your accounts?
Yes.
When you go to bed?
Yeah.
Little creepy?
Yep.
Now imagine your smartphone wants to kill you. Control-Alt-Delete is an indie sci-fi film about the threat of artificial intelligence, data mining, and nanotechnology. We're in the last days of our Kickstarter campaign, so join the cause. Go to tiny.cc/Control-Alt-Delete and help one of the Tadpool's own make his first feature film. That's tiny.cc/Control-Alt-Delete.
Sounds lovely.
It does sound so cool. Go fund that, really, seriously.
I'm going to shock you now.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. Let me prepare myself.
You may not be ready for this.
Gripping the sides of my standing desk.
It's going to make you question all your pop culture references.
Okay. All right.
Hello Kitty is not a cat.
No.
Burp, burp, burp.
Of course it's not. It's like a little stuffed animal drawing.
Suspense.
Character.
Well, it's supposed to be a cat, I thought. And it says...
I always thought it was supposed to be a cat, too.
Hello Kitty, and it's got little whiskers, and it has cat ears, and...
Yeah.
Well, here you go.
So what is it?
It is not a cat. After 40 years, it's taken this long, of collecting the cash of cat lovers worldwide, the secret Cyrano's star character has been revealed, according to the Los Angeles Times.
Sanrio,
That's what I meant. That's what I meant. The startling truth was uncovered by anthropologist and slash Hello Kitty scholar Christine R. Yano. Sounds like a slang term for the vagina. who has studied the phenomenon.
Yeah, me and my boys are going to Boston. We're going to get a lot of Yano.
A lot of Yano, yo. Who has studied the phenomenon surrounding the minimalist meower for years? Yano was, of course, the ideal person to help curate the Los Angeles' upcoming Hello Kitty retrospective at the Japanese American National Museum. After Yano waded through all the Hello Kitty toasters, coin purses, and blah, 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 she sent her notes to Sanrio for approval. The company was pleased with the Hello Kitty connoisseur's work, except for one earth-shattering detail. Quote, I was corrected very firmly, she said. That's one correction. Sanrio. Made for my script of the show. Hello Kitty is not a cat. She is a cartoon character. She is a little girl. She is a friend, but she is not a cat. She's never depicted at all or ever on all fours. She walks and sits like a two-legged creature. She does not have a pet cat of her own. She does have a pet cat of her own. However, it is called Charmy Kitty, and she's okay. not a cat. Then if she's not a cat, she's a badly
deformed little girl.
Yes, she is permanently cosplaying as a cat because it's a cat. That's bull bizarre. Crap. It's bull crap. It's utter bull crap. This is some kind of weird.
All I can hear is Berlin, like. Not a cat. I'm a cartoon character.
Not a cat.
I'm a little girl.
Not a cat. And there's so they put up a. I'm trying to see if the Wikipedia has been updated or not. Let's see. Japanese companies. Sanrio. She bears the appearance of a white Japanese bobtail cat with a red bow. Although she is actually a little English girl called Kitty White from outside of London. That was just added in here. Hmm. I don't know what up is down. I don't know what's going on in this world. It took him 40 years to say something. 40 years, yeah, Brian.
That seems.
You and I were in our diapers when this.
Everybody in the world assumed that Hello Kitty was a cat. So for them to come out now and say, oh, no.
Yeah, I call bullcrap.
Not a cat at all, but a little girl and a friend.
I call bullcrap.
And a cartoon character
from London.
Whatever.
All right. Enough of this. Uma Thurman.
Mm-hmm. She's not a cat.
Nope.
I'm pretty sure about that.
Nope, she's not. She broke the silence on her relationship with Quentin Tarantino and them dating.
Kill Bill Volume 3 right there.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. The 44-year-old actress, Kill Bill actress, reportedly split from fiancé Arpad Boosin.
Arpad.
She's spotted with the 51-year-old Tarantino on more than one occasion where the longtime pals appear to be getting quite cozy. This one only served to fuel rumors that Oscar-nominated actress and Pulp Fiction director were dating, and recently, until recently, both stayed mum on the romance reports. Finally, though, Thurman is breaking her silence. In an interview with Versus Magazine, excerpted by the Daily Mail, the actress says, quote, I was discussing the rumors with Mr. Tarantino last night. She calls him Mr. Tarantino. That's
Mr.
funny.
Tarantino.
You know
wow.
what she calls her?
Foot lady.
Hot feet. Yeah. Foot lady. Hey, foot lady. Make me some foot coffee, lady, foot lady. Come here. I'm making a
Send
new movie.
Send recliner, please.
Yeah, please. F-ity-f-ity-f. All right. He was angry for me not calling him back because he said, according to the papers, we are practically married, and so he laughed hysterically. I want to hear that. I want to hear that hysterical laugh. So our relationship, she clarifies, is pretty much what it's always been. People just are having fun with it. That's not to say, though, that Thurman completely hates the spotlight. I think media is part of the career of an actor, she says. There is no career for an actor who is in some way not in the media unless they are unsuccessful. Ooh, zing. Zing.
There's no career for an actor who is in some way not in the media unless they are unsuccessful.
It's a bad sentence. It's a bad sentence.
I can't even diagram that.
I think she knows what she means. Like, if you're not, what she's saying is, if you're not in the media all the time, then you're not a successful actress.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
That's what she's saying. But,
sure.
No, listen, there are plenty of actresses not in the media all the time because they're quietly going about their lives and not dating foot fetishist Quentin Tarantino.
Right. But then are they successful?
Yeah. I think there's plenty of successful actresses who you'd look at and go, oh, I love her in that. She was really good in that. But you're not hearing about her on TMZ every day. Gotcha. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're in the media in some way, right? Like, you're someone will say, oh, so-and-so won an award and everyone loves her acting or whatever. But the reason that Jennifer Lawrence is in the media most of the time isn't because she's a great actress. She is. But it's because she tripped and fell, or she was smoking pot on a balcony, or she said some funny thing. You know?
Right. But okay. But going further down the list, like Julia Ormond.
Yeah.
Not in the media.
No. But she's a good actress.
She's a good actress.
And successful in her business.
You think she'd want more roles? Want more?
Well, maybe. More parts? I guess that depends on how you define success.
Nev Campbell. Quick little appearance on Mad Men last season. Not in the media. Probably wants more roles. Probably wants more
probably.
Scripts.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. Do you think she does? Yeah, or she?
That's, you know, everybody defines success their own way. So
yeah. Like I would say Kenny Baker. Pretty successful.
Oh, this is sad.
You don't like where I'm going?
I know where you're going because, well, Brian Dunaway posted this and made me sad.
Yeah, it made me really sad.
Yeah.
Partly because what's his name? Warwick Davis. He's gotten plenty of things going on right now. I don't know why he wants to be on that, but whatever.
Yeah.
Why is it always just little people doing that?
It's not. They just happen to be the most. They happen to be the only names I recognize from that whole page. Well, David Hasselhoff is on that page too. Yeah. So it's this page where you can get. Oh my God! Somebody just posted a. Devilsphere just posted pictures of Quentin Tarantino with a lady's foot in his mouth.
Oh, gross!
Like an actual photo.
Oh gosh! Who is that? Is it really? Is that something?
That's a tiny foot too. I don't know.
Ugh. Yeah, that's a little person or a tiny lady or hopefully not a kid.
I'm sure it's not a kid.
Oh, that's.
Anyway,
where did that leak from? Who got that?
Make sure that ends up on TMS GIFs, by the way.
Well, he's all into it, right? Like that's the thing. He's into feet,
right?
Ugh.
But anyway, this page where you can hire actors and celebrities and former contestants on reality shows to do a quick video or a quick message for somebody's birthday. And there are tons of people on the page. The only people whose names I recognized were Kenny Baker, Warwick Davis, and David Hasselhoff.
Right. That's a good point. That thing was sad. Yeah. It was sadness incarnate.
Yes.
But like Ty Burrell, okay? Modern Family.
Yeah, right.
Big shot right now. Just won another Emmy. Everyone loves Ty Burrell. He's great. But you're not hearing about him every 5 minutes.
No.
And he's not hurting for work.
No, no, no.
You know what I mean? Because he's not out there. His wiener isn't out at some bar at 3 a.m. He's just normal.
Is that what it comes down to?
Usually, for me.
Okay.
You know what creeped me out a little bit? Just saying. Ed sure. O'Neill, yeah. All right? Al Bundy.
Yeah.
Was on stage when that
Jay
show,
Pritchett.
Yeah, when that show sure. won Best Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what Daryl thinks of that show. He'll text us, I'm sure.
Yeah,
goes out on stage and he starts just kissing on everybody, and he's kissing on all the kids, and he's kissing on their heads, and he's kissing the arm of some lady, and just kissing everybody. He kind of creeped me out. He's got a kissing fetish.
That's fine.
All right, fine.
He's from that generation where you just
kiss everything in your way. Right.
I'm sure he kissed Christina Applegate. I'm sure he kissed Peg Bundy.
He kissed the guy that ruined the show. What's
probably
his name?
Kissed the guy that ruined the show.
Exactly. I don't remember his name. Well, anyway, yeah. Good times for everybody.
McGinley.
Ted McGinley. That's it.
Ted McGinley. Yeah. Kissed Ted McGinley and ruined his lips.
Probably. Tweaked Audio. Tweaked Audio is sponsoring the show. TweakedAudio.com with her 5 styles, 7 colors, and all designed to sound great with whatever the hell you're listening to, including this dumb show that we're doing right now. Get a lifetime warranty and all the love you can from a company like Tweaked Audio. They take good care of you. Use the code STREAM for a third off. That's 33% off the code STREAM at TweakedAudio.com. We're now going to take a break. When we come back, Wendy will be here. We got Therapy Thursday to do. And an interesting question, I think. And it'll be fun to see if Wendy's internet holds up at all.
Yay.
Because you never know, and if it doesn't, it'll sound something like this. Yeah, looking forward to that.
Has she heard it yet?
I don't think so. Like, we're going to play it for her today.
So we're going to play it for her? Perfect.
Yeah, she'll love that. But we're going to do music in the meantime. What do you got?
This is going out to Jake, emailed in and said, "Dear Miggity Mac Scotty and Briggity Brian Mac."
Wow.
Tomorrow, the 29th, marks the day that I officially become a level 26 human pencil pusher. I'm a gigantic fan of ska music, and a blast of it would really pick up my day. There's a band from the Dallas area called the Holophonics that have really gotten their hooks into me, and anything from their fourth Masquerades album, Masquerades cover album, would be fantastic. Nice. Chug some Froyo with a hobo, though. No, Fro-to with a hobo, though. Jake, a.k.a. Polonik from the Rare Times, I'm in the Tadpole.
Nice.
He doesn't spell like Chuck Polonik, so I don't want to pronounce it like that.
I understand.
I don't know. I don't know why. Yeah. All right. So anyway, I don't think so he suggested anything from the Holophonics Masquerades Volume 4 album. The Volume 4 album was Hanukkah music, Hanukkah covers. And I'm not going to play a Hanukkah cover. So I'm going to scooch back a little bit to Volume 3 of the Holophonics Masquerades album, which came out last year. These are great. And I had the first one. I hadn't seen Volumes 2, 3, 4, and the new 5 volumes at all. So I snatched a couple of those up this morning. This comes from that. It's a cover of the Capital Cities song that you'll recognize immediately, Safe and Sound. Here are the Holophonics from their Masquerades Volume 3 album with Safe and Sound.
Charlie McKee for Electrolux. And this is an America that used to be. A time when companies brought vacuum cleaners to your home because that's the best place to judge a vacuum. Today, few companies do that. But Electrolux still does because your home is still the best place to see why Electrolux is better. So open your door to Electrolux. Electrolux, your home is the best place to see why we're better.
What the hell are you doing now?
Ladies, we heard you. This is the Morning Stream.
Funny to see a company try to bring back the door-to-door vacuum guy.
Right. Right.
I thought that was the weirdest thing.
People love door-to-door solicitors.
Yeah. I mean, clearly that didn't work because I think that they're gone now, but
Right. Well, they'd come in the house, and then they'd dump dirt on your floor, and then they'd vacuum it up to show you how well their vacuums worked. At least if you know, old television movies were to be believed.
You could never do it now, I don't think, because like you're getting punked by Steve-O or something.
Right.
You know?
Right. Plus, people are much more cautious about letting random strangers come into their house. And
yeah, I would be.
Plus, you know, you don't find as many people. You find
two
people working, both parents working.
That's true.
Hey, Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Good. How's your how's life? How's it going?
Good. Brian, sorry to interrupt. Keep going.
Oh, no. Just talking about door-to-door vacuum cleaner salesmen.
Yeah, they don't exist really anymore. They're kind of a lost art. Right?
Oh,
what about Sweden? How do they get vacuums in Sweden? How's that go?
I don't know, but there's only one store that you get a crock pot at.
Oh, really?
Well, really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Is it called Bed Bath Beyond and Crock-Pot?
And Crock-Pot. Well, maybe it's just only official branded Crock-Pots.
Weird. So what?
But I don't know about vacuum.
Were you trying to do like a slow roasted something, or what are you making
there? Yeah, like, you know, it's just faster and slower at the same time. And I was like, that'd be sweet. And then I'm like, where do I get one of those? And yeah. They're hard to find.
Yeah. Only down at Sven's Crock Pottery can you get it.
yeah.
Well, it's good to have you on. I heard the good news that the second farmhouse worked out, right? Isn't that the deal?
The second farmhouse, yes.
Yeah. And you got to watch a couple of cats. And...
Oh, boy.
There we go.
Thank you for letting
going.
Everyone know I'm on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. You like that? I told the whole world. I let everybody know that Wendy's on Instagram because why not? They want to see your adventures there.
Yeah, I mean, my adventures consist of playground pictures, so enjoy, everyone.
But, you know, the idea is that you, well, first of all, you know, that's what Instagram is. It's just sort of like public, hey, here's cool stuff happening around me. But, you know, there are interested people listening to the show who want to, you know, just kind of see what's up and what's going on. And
right. I had like, you know, 40 neighbors from home were following me, and then I wake up and there's 350 new people. I'm like, this must be stopped.
Yeah. You had an idea that it may have been us. Enjoy those. It's a good time.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't even know you were doing it until you commented on one of mine. And I went, oh, what? Wendy's on Instagram? This is like, call the police.
Miracle.
Something's up. Yeah, what's happening here?
It's a miracle. Yeah.
Well, speaking of miracles, we're glad about the house deal and that'll all work out. And what else? Oh, I was going to play a clip of so you can hear what you sound like when you lag out. Do you want to hear it?
Oh, great. Yeah.
This is what it sounds like. Whoops, I'm in the wrong place. Okay, here we go. This is Wendy when she lags out. So here you go. It's like that. You hear that? Because you don't hear what we hear.
I wonder.
Yeah.
I wonder if my kids hear that all day. Like, honestly, they act as if that's all they're hearing.
That's all they can hear coming out of their mom. Hey, clean your room, but all they hear is... Yeah.
Yeah. That was the word clean.
Sweet. Clean your room. All right. Well, good news. We have a good question here this week. And lag notwithstanding, let's see if we can nail it down and get to it. And you're still on like non-Wi-Fi, right? Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, hopefully we'll tear through this and this doesn't cost you money. I feel bad every
time.
No worry.
That's all good.
Hey, Scott, Brian, and Wendy, says this email from someone we'll just refer to as S. I was married for about 2.5 years, and I have been divorced now for 18 months. Just over 2 years ago, I came home from work on a Friday, and my then husband told me that he didn't think that our marriage was working and he was leaving. It was a complete shock to me. We hadn't been fighting or anything like that. I thought that we were happily married. I found out later he had found someone else and had most likely been having an affair for at least a few months. For the last few months we were together. They put month in it. Screwed me up. That's not a problem. My problem is this. That sounds like a problem, but anyway.
Well, that's not her current problem.
Right. That's not my problem. My problem is this. We still text back and forth sporadically about random things. Nothing serious. We don't see each other in person very often at all, maybe every 6 months or so. My friends and family are telling me I shouldn't have any contact with him at all. My thought is if I keep contact with him, he stays a real person and I don't, this doesn't turn into some kind of fictitious person in my head. The real ex is a jerk that I don't want a romantic relationship with anymore. The fictitious one is still my knight in shining armor. Does that make sense? Who's right here? Should I cut him off? Should I keep talking to him? I still don't feel like I'm completely over him, but I am not sure what I need to do to get there. Thanks. So, that's pretty hardcore, man.
So she's thinking that if she cuts off contact with him, her memory of him, she'll think back to the early days, the salad days of their relationship when things were going great, rather than this guy cheated on me, left me, you know.
See, to me, the keeping contact with him keeps the memory in your head that you cheated on you and that he's kind of terrible or whatever.
That would be my thinking.
And if you ignore him, or not ignore him, but you try to put it behind you and move on and not have contact with him, it seems like that's a real chance for getting away from it. So which side is right, Wendy?
Well, there's a couple things happening here. Number one, we've all been her. We've all been the person who can't see maybe what's in front of us, but we think we can.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people have opinions and they share them and we just think they're nosy, but they just have a different perspective, right? A different angle. But we maybe don't listen to them because we think, well, they don't really know. They, you know, there's potentially that going on. She thinks she knows more than they do, but there's something about the feedback of people who care about you, who don't have ulterior motives, right? So if these are people, you know, we always discount our mothers, like, well, of course your mother thinks you're beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
But who are these people that are saying this to her? Are they good sources, you know? Then maybe there might be something there, and your perspective is a short 18 months out of a relationship that really hurt you. So you might want to just say, okay, maybe there's something there. So there's that happening. There's also this other thing happening, which is this is so ancient, by the way, I do certain behaviors and consciously I'm using a certain reason for why I'm doing it, but there really might be deeper reasons, right? Maybe she just really doesn't want to let go, and having a relationship with him at all is better than not having one at all. And she may be justifying by saying, well, it reminds me that he's a jerk and that I don't want to go back to him. And the answer is, if the three times you've seen him in the last 18 months and all you're texting, he's a jerk, you would stop contacting him. So it's not that he's being a jerk. It's that you found a nice excuse to maintain contact with someone, is what I'm assuming, right? So here's the litmus test. This is what she needs to do. She needs to have a friend say to her, so pretend what I say next is reality, and then give me your initial gut reaction, your first thought. Don't filter, don't editorialize, just say what it is. And the first scenario is he dies in a car crash tomorrow. He's dead. He's off the earth. How do you feel?
Yeah.
And then she responds to that. Or the next one is, so he decides he didn't want any more contact with you and doesn't talk to you again. What's your reaction? And what I'm assuming would happen is that she would be sad and unhappy with that idea that he no longer contacted her. And if the answer is that she would be sad about it, it's that she hasn't fully given him up, right? Hasn't, even though you say, well, they have no relationship. There's nothing there. What is she doing? And what a lot of people do now, I always tell people, if you lose someone in your life, think about this. If it's a death, you got a funeral, you got a grave you can go visit. There's so much end to it. You cannot force them out of that grave to talk to you as much as you might want to. But when loss is in another form, we have, sometimes people struggle when it's death too, but we have a hard time actually really letting go. Because they're still alive. They're still posting on Instagram, that thing that now I'm a part of. They are, you know, they're findable. And most people respond to texts, right? Yeah. Most people are not going to be like, hey, you're dead to me. Like, you know, back in the day when you brought their sweatshirt back and their mixtape they made you, that was it.
Cardboard box with all the stuff they left at your house. Yeah.
Right. That is over. Now it is.
Too much social. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the self-control to turn off all the I'm following you and the spying on the internet and the Pinterest of spying, which is this funny. I see this with a few couples.
Oh, really? Pinterest
like,
spying?
Oh, you know, he said he liked this and it was some wedding something. That must mean he's marrying the next girl or whatever.
Oh, like, that's fun to have to deal with people deciphering that. That seems crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. And what that does and what she may be doing a little bit, I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing here, is keeping enough contact to keep from fully mourning the loss of that relationship.
Hmm.
And because that's scary. That's the unknown. And so when family or people outside of you are saying, hey, this is probably not good for you. You really need to move forward. You need to get him out of your life. They're dead on. If that's what you're doing. And if I said to her, he dies tomorrow, you're sad because he's a good person, but it doesn't really impact your life very much. Well, then you've probably moved on. But if I said, oh, he's not going to text you anymore and you're panicking or you're really sad, or then you clearly haven't fully ended that relationship in your heart. And there's some work that needs to be done there.
Well, let me ask you this question. So, you know, this makes me think of a thing that happened to me not very long ago, but let's say circa 03 or 04. Somebody that I used to really like and kind of have a good online relationship with, a friend of the stuff I was doing, and he was a cool dude and helped me run the forums, and there's some other stuff going on there. But anyway, he totally kind of went AWOL and jerked out and kind of made me mad and, you know, left in a huff and, you know, messed some stuff up with his passwords before I could shut it down. And anyways, it was small, petty stuff, but it was this internet thing where somebody I trusted who totally breached that trust and then took off. And I was so angry and kind of hurt by the whole thing that I couldn't believe somebody would do that. Now I'm just sort of used to it. It's like there's trolls everywhere and you're going to get crap on the internet. But at the time, it was still kind of new to me and didn't really understand how that stuff worked. And anyway, all this time later, I still once in a while find myself curious. Wonder what he's doing. Wonder what if I go see what he's up to. And part of that is, I'll admit this, is I hope he's doing bad. You know, I hope I go find him. And he's not doing well at all. Like things have gone real sour for him.
Dead in a ditch.
Yeah, online. Or something terrible, which is awful, right? Like, it's not a nice thing to think about somebody. But I do that sometimes. For whatever reason, this story is reminding me of that.
Wait, I have a question. Do you expect anyone, even if they are homeless crack addict in the gutter, to post anything that doesn't look like their life is good? Maybe there are those who are, like, oversharers, right? Like,
some are, yeah.
Seriously, this is what... When this happened on Instagram, I was like, what have I done? Why am I with these people? Mm. My neighbor posted that she had diarrhea. Like, what the hell?
Well, you know, you get the runs. You gotta get it out. You got to let people know.
But why?
But here, I get that. TMI and all that. But, okay, so... So
wait, hold on. Have you sought after this person and found them online?
I have not. It just comes up in my head sometimes. But
you never go through it.
No, I never do because I wouldn't even know where to start. I don't know his real name even. I wouldn't even know how to track him down. It was just a guy had a pseudonym and he was on the forums and that's all I know. And I don't
douchebag
even know. I don't know how I'd find. Over. Yeah, search for douchebag on Twitter or on Google. See what you get. But I was gonna say this. So you and I we did a therapy episode. And we invoked the experiences that I had as a kid on the Bullies episode with Jimmy. Yep. With Jimmy, remember that whole conversation?
Yep. Yep.
Well, guess who got a private message on Facebook from one Jimmy, and I won't use his last name, but Jimmy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got
are you kidding?
A big long email from Jimmy. He listened to the show. I didn't know this. I had no idea he listened. He lives in your friend's neighborhood. What's her name?
I know. He's like good friends with my friend.
Yeah, they hang out.
We won't name. Yeah.
So I think that's where he got the idea that, oh, there's a show. Cool. I should listen to it. Heard that whole thing and sent me the absolute nicest email or message. It's very apologetic. Talked about how it's just weird when you're a kid and so much changes and you just don't know anything and you learn so much as you get older. And he felt genuinely bad and didn't realize he had had that kind of impact on me and others at that time. And just the nicest thing,
good.
Like a genuine, like one of those moments, you don't get these very often, but one of those moments where real reconciliation with somebody who kind of has haunted you since your childhood a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Jimmy listens to this show or not, but you know, it, that really meant a lot to me to get that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So I guess that being the other side of it, right? Where you kind of obsessed about it a little bit, like the fact that I even brought it up in that conversation on that episode shows that that was still a thing that bugged me a little, right?
He's your go-to bully moment.
Yeah, he's my only real bully moment. I don't really have any other, except for that, Scott Farkas kid that threw me in the bushes and Mark came and rescued me. But that I was 8, so who cares about that? That guy's probably dead.
Let's Google
it. Yeah, let's Google that guy. Redheaded douche from my childhood. .com. Anyway, so anyway, my point is that maybe that's what she wants now, is some end to this where he goes, oh, I was so wrong, and she feels vilified, or, you know, I don't know.
There's a word. It's called justice, right? It's called closure.
Yeah.
Jimmy comes to you and says, wow, I really did not intend to hurt you the way I did. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize the impact that I had, and I'm so sorry. That is every kid's dream.
Yeah.
You're 40-something when you get it, which is interesting. But
really,
because
weird.
You don't really need it on some level, but it's sure nice. And if he had done it at 21, how different would that be? You know, how different is the storyline? Because here's what happens is, we only get one side of the story. So my friend is good friends with Jimmy's wife and with both of them, and they travel and hang out all the time. And she has talked about, I've always been like, ew, Jimmy, you know, because I knew he wasn't very good to you, but I have no context myself. I knew his sister and brother, and they were really nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, but she was just like, he's really great. And his wife is the coolest lady. I'm like, how can someone like Jimmy have a cool wife?
Yeah.
Well, it's because Jimmy is not a bully through and through. He was bully at a time. He was a big football dude who couldn't help the testosterone burst that made him a jerk. Whatever. There's no other context that changes his identity. So think back to the one funeral you went to, and he wasn't very nice to you at the funeral. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I brought that up in the thing. He was totally like dismissive and freaking rude at that thing. That was our chance, I thought. You know, like I was 30 then.
Like,
we were both 30.
Yeah, we're at a funeral of a mutual friend. This should be the moment. Well, Jimmy was probably in his head, probably thinking, holy crap, my friend just died. And, oh, yeah, Scott, okay. And just whatever, but has no idea, because the storyline for you has never changed. For him, he's been oblivious to it. So how this relates to her, the emailer, is that she doesn't realize that she's making up what's going to work or not work for her based on the storyline. Yeah. And what she's currently doing is saying, hey, the story that works for me is if I stay in contact with him, I remember I don't want to be with him.
Yeah.
What she doesn't realize is that's a thin covering for maybe what she really is afraid to do, which is to grieve and let him fully go, you know, because how is this helping her? So that would be my next question to her. What does it do for you to keep contact with him? Does your heart pound when you get a text from him? Are there, you know, kind of what are the benefits to this current status that makes you defensive when people say, okay, you need to move on. You really need to stop talking to him. You know, what are you getting out of this? And then conversely, what are you missing out on? So I'm not saying you'd be friends with Jimmy your whole life or anything, but what if the storyline shifted earlier? What if you got more information, or there was, you know, maybe the funeral thing, he was really nice and you were really nice and that was it. You know, how does adding more information to the equation help or hurt? And then why do we keep them in the box we have them in? So she has them in a whatever that is for her, and she needs to figure out what that is and why she's doing that. And then say, what is the alternative? And what do I have to do that? Usually the alternative means a little work, right? Mm. So if you track Jimmy down and said, we will be friends and I will make this a different story, you know, that would require some courage, some work, and it might seem a little weird.
Yeah, definitely.
And in Jimmy's case, he's just la-di-da living his life and suddenly hears a podcast and goes, holy crap, I'm the bully on the bully episode?
I was that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that. Think about if that were you.
Yeah.
How weird that would be.
It'd be really weird. I mean, my assumption is, for as far as I was concerned, he had separated himself into a whole new universe from me from that young age all the way up through, and the funeral just sort of confirmed it. It was like, oh, he has ascended down here to spend a little time with the mortals while we mourn the loss of our friend, but he will soon just go back up
and disappear.
Right. Yeah, descend, I guess is the word I meant. But the point is that he doesn't seem, you know, he now, for him to now, so for me to talk about it on a show was like no big deal, because I may as well be talking about, you know, a press secretary in the White House. Nobody's ever going to talk to him or talk to me, or there's no connection. But him hearing it went, oh, wow, no, we've closed the gap now. You know?
And I think, so all it was more interaction, more information, and a bridge crossing, right? Mm-hmm. And in her case, this isn't about reconciliation. This is about being really honest with herself about what it is she's doing.
Yeah.
Because anyone walks through her shoes. You're married. All of a sudden, he doesn't want to be with you. Turns out he was cheating on you. And what do you get? He has a girlfriend and you are divorced. And a year and a half later, he's still playing games, doing whatever the hell he does. And then, you know, you are still stable, going to work every week, coming home on a Friday. I mean, she sounds like that, you know, just reliable. And so that kind of shock, that's it. You don't just get over that. You don't just be like, just text like we're friends. I mean, that should really be pretty devastating.
So
it may have been, right?
Do you know what
it sound weird?
Do you know, you did for a second? You're fine. Did you know, or okay, how was I just going to put that? I was just going to say, oh, you always talk about dopamine stuff on the show. Like, you know, certain behaviors or whatever are doing a lot like drugs do, where they're just sort of, you know, giving you whatever you need. Do you think she's getting that from these texts? Like a text will come through and she's like, phew, okay, this is still going. And she's getting a boost of something there, right?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
There you are. Sorry, you cut out for a sec. Hello. You're back.
Okay. So I said, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and that's probably a hard thing to battle. Like, it always feels like this comes down to this when there's something somebody needs to give up or move past or stop doing. This always seems to be the thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's some chemical going burp in your head that makes you not want to stop.
Yeah. It's the devil, you know, cliche really is. It's just easier to deal with what I know I have to deal with than the unknown. And the unknown usually is better, but you just don't know. So you stick with what you know.
Yeah.
The dopamine thing's a really good point. I keep thinking, do I need to talk faster or do I talk slower?
No, you're good. Right now you sound great.
Yeah, this time it's only happened like a couple times. It's nothing like last week. So.
Yeah, it's totally good. You're totally fine.
No,
whatever's going on in Sweden today, there's actually clearer skies or something. So
let me tell you what I'm doing next week. So we're moving on Sunday to stay for 2 weeks in a, like, basically a tiny basement of this house that used to be like a hospital. I don't even know how to describe it.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds terrifying.
Yeah. Two bedrooms, it's going to be insane. And the cutest part, though, is we're renting it from this family that is like Misha, but reverse, right? So it's a Swedish girl and a Korean husband and these cute four little kids that remind me of Misha's kids. So, yeah, that's where we'll be next week. And so I'm hoping the internet's better.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. And if it's not, that's okay. It's all on the road.
The
road to great internet is clearly ahead of us because Sweden's supposed to have the best internet in the world. So.
It really is, I think, my neighborhood. Anyway, so my point was, I don't know. Yeah, she has to. Oh, stop. It sounds so bad.
All right, keep going. Keep going.
See, I should pass, like, and then it'll sound like
what's funny
okay,
is
so anyway, what
you're just trying to do that and it was slowing down while you're saying, are you gonna try to talk fast?
That was great. Anyway,
crap. Anyway, she just has to figure out, she's reacting to other people defensively probably because she doesn't want to let something go, and she just needs to be honest about herself and then decide she wants to do it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And I want to hear back from her. I feel like this is one that I'd like to hear. I want to get an email that says, hey, by the way, remember me? I quit getting the text and I moved on. Or, you know, we reconciled or whatever your end result is. I feel like I need to know the end of the story. I need closure on this one for my own selfish reasons, obviously. Good stuff as always.
Well,
always.
You, you know
go
how
ahead.
I, sorry.
No, you're fine.
You know how I always, I've mentioned this before, where people get feedback from other people. So if I was her, I would ask three of those people who have bugged her about this having no contact and ask them to write it out and send her an email, their reasons, the, what they know about her, what they know about him, what they are thinking, because, and then give them permission that you're not going to be mad at them. You just want some honest, observations, because you're going to get some information that you can't normally get.
Yes, I agree with you. I got part of that. I got part of it. I got part of that. But then the rest of it went away. I don't know why. We had such a great connection before, and then it all went to poo.
All of a sudden,
All right. Well, it doesn't matter, because the important thing, all the important stuff has been said. Gosh dang it. Amazing stuff. Wendy, good luck with that weird semi-move. That sounds like a pain.
Ooh, yeah. Don't envy you.
Yeah, I don't. So she's you're an adventurous soul, but we'll check in with you next week, see how things are going, and I hope that all goes fine.
Okay, check me out on Instagram.
Woo! Yeah, check her out. Wendy Dunford on Instagram. Wendy with a Y. I, everybody. Woo!
Woo, yeah.
Okay, bye. See you later.
Bye.
Yeah, it is. It's Wendy, W-E-N-D-I, Dunford on Instagram if you want to follow her there. That's the most social networky she's ever been.
Yeah, I know, because you don't see her on Facebook. You don't see her on obviously on Twitter or anything like that. So yeah,
she's not so interested in hearing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that lag stuff. Jeez.
Oh, man. It just got brutal there at the end.
Got it was so bad.
You know, went from being completely non-existent to being every third word, unfortunately.
Frustration
but,
nation,
but at least we got the – that's the. But you know, you said it. We got all the good stuff out early. So
yeah, we squeezed it
good
out.
Good advice. Yep.
All right. On that note, let's take it – let's get out of here. Before we do, though, we always call Cleo. Is she around? Is she on
She
today?
Is around. I've seen her in the tadpole. So.
All right. I haven't had a chance to look.
Yeah.
Let's give her a buzz here. Cleo, also known as Carrie Chai, my favorite kind of tea.
Mm-hmm. Mine too.
I like it a lot, especially that kind that comes in that weird machine of my wife's. I always get the name of the machine.
The Keurig.
Is the Keurig? That's it, right?
Here's
a little theme for you. You ready? Here you go.
He's an evil man who will come to an evil end.
All right.
Sounds like Dr. Ruth all of a sudden. I know it's not, but it sounded like her.
A little bit. Yeah. Hello and welcome to the show there, Carrie. It's nice to have you on. Talk about who was goofy this week. I always enjoy this little bit here. You round it up for us, don't you?
Live from Sweden.
maybe next week it'll be better, though, she said. So I guess we'll
see.
Yeah. Anyway.
I speak very quickly, Wendy, so we'll find out if... I have to teach you how to hover, Wendy. That's the problem.
Yeah, you gotta. So the problem is she's doing it on cell service, so she'd have to hover over an antenna somewhere.
A tower. Hover. Yeah.
Just hovering covers all your bases, pretty much.
Sounds good.
All righty. Let's see what we got here. I probably should have edited this beforehand. Yeah? Okay, good. Let's see. We got sneaking into the maternity unit in California with fake babies. I Am Bagels wants us to know that Fake Babies, this is Goo Goo Dolls cover band.
Pretty good.
When you were talking about all the procedural shows like Law & Order, SVU, somebody said, gee, where will we find the body today? And Cinder Flame said, into Clip Clop, because that's where all the bodies are.
That's right. You know the place.
For favorite commercial jingles, Brian says he likes Quiznos, to which Before Tank Girl, hi Trish, says the conveyor of heat is what Gandalf calls his junk.
Ah, the conveyor of heat.
Awesome. You shall not enter.
These last three that I'm going to give you are all from Alucard. So Alucard wins for the week.
Wow.
But Alucard's on fire.
All right.
Okay. Julia Roberts' signature quote, like you were saying, she should have a line that people can come up with.
Yeah.
Alucard says, I'm just a girl standing in front of a man asking him to feed her a sugar cube and pat her flanks.
Wow.
Nice. Nicely done.
Yeah.
He also said that today for Ron Jeremy doing a cameo in Ghostbusters, it's not the first or last time Ron Jeremy has been right up in there.
Okay.
And Ron Jeremy's autobiography is called Thank You, Scott. Bonking something loudly.
Wonderful. So he wins with the big top three, I'd say.
He had the trifecta, right. Which is another Julia Roberts reference, so there you go.
Yeah.
Nobody claiming that Ron Jeremy should have played Slimer, huh?
Oh, gosh. Let's hope not. In the Utah.
In the Utah?
It's always good to have you here, Carrie. I hope you're having a good week, are you?
I am having a great week. My kids are all in school. I get about 20 minutes to myself in the morning before... Yeah. This stuff starts. I can do a little candy crushing, toilet polio. It's good times.
Yeah, toilet polio.
Toilet polio. Good times. Fun. The doors open in the bathroom. It's great.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Toilet polio.
Toilet polio.
Well, good. We'll have a great weekend, and let's do it again next time, okay?
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye.
All righty.
Wow.
That was fun. I always like hanging out with Carrie. Hey, listen, tonight, 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 if you live in the Eastern time zone, and 6:30 if you live there in the Central. And if you live somewhere else in the world,
figure it out. There's a website for you.
GMT-7, I believe, is where you want to be. We'll have a live show. We'll do another show. It's a TMSPM edition. Don't forget tonight, we got Daryl and his not Twinkies. What was I going to say? His bananas and his Sprite.
Sprite banana challenge.
Doing the challenge. We're going to do that tonight. And it's all thanks to patreon.com/TMS. If you support us there, you support the show doing new and cool things. So go check that out, please. More on that tonight. Big thanks to everybody who was here today. Thanks to Scott Fletcher for his voice work, as always. Big thanks to Alpha Geek Radio for the simulcast audio stream. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. You are encouraged to use it often. You can find Brian at Coverville on Twitter. You can find me at Scott Johnson. You can find the show at Morning Stream. It's going to do it. Oh, there's a show for you, dude.
That was a good show.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It's complete.
Yeah, pretty complete.
Well,
feature complete.
Almost complete. You know, there's one. I feel like there's something missing.
Oh, is there something missing?
Yeah, it's almost like we need
music to cap it off.
It's almost like we need the Mother of Dragons covering the Water Boys, but I don't know. Maybe that's
it. Oh, I don't know. What is it?
So let's see. Jason wrote in, said, "Hey, Scott and Brian." Yeah. That's right. No clever S&B names.
Yeah.
"I'm a big fan of female front symphonic metal and violin. So if you could play something that incorporates a couple of those elements, that would be great. Could you play it on August 28th? The song request is pretty wide open as far as it has lots of violins, female vocals, and a hard rock metal edge to it. Then I'll be happy." I didn't, you know what? The song I picked doesn't have a hard rock metal edge to it. Oh, wow. I have faith that Brian can find something awesome.
Your faith was misplaced.
Yes, bad faith. No faith. You should have no faith in me. Yeah. Otherwise, I would have picked something like a Norwegian, some Norwegian metal with male vocals. Well, I think people are still going to enjoy this. Well, I think you're going to enjoy this, but I know a lot of people who listen enjoy this. This goes out to Jason, a.k.a. Free Rangers, the Tadpole. Now, this is cool. This is something that I heard on a trailer for a movie. It was the soundtrack to Dom Hemingway, which stars Jude Law, and a movie that I'd never even heard of. But now I kind of want to check it out. But it was on the soundtrack, and it was on the trailer for the movie. And I thought, oh my God, that's a great cover. I got to pick it up. And then I picked it up and I realized who it was. And it's none other than Daenerys Targaryen, Emilia Clarke, doing a cover of The Waterboys.
Oh, wow.
And so many reasons now to love this.
Yeah, I'm all in.
So it's Fisherman's Blues, originally performed by The Waterboys, covered here by Daenerys Targaryen, Emilia Clarke.
Wonderbar. Let's play it now. She's awesome, by the way.
She is awesome. She has a great singing voice.
Those same guys that did that Robin Williams thing, they also have another one about her being the Queen of Dragons. That's also really good.
Oh, really? Cool.
The Dragon's Daughter. It's really good. Anyway, so here you go then. Let's play it now. We'll be back tonight. TMSPM. See everybody then. Otherwise, if you're not coming for that, I guess we'll see you maybe Monday or not.
We'll see when we see you.
Yeah, it may not be Monday. It's a holiday.
We'll see you first.
All right, on that note, we'll see you guys later. Talk to you tonight.
Fisherman, tumbling on the seas, far away.
memories, casting out my sweet line with abandonment and love. No ceiling bearing down on me except the starry sky above with light in my head. You in my arms. Ah. I wish I was a brake man on a hurtling fever train, crashing headlong into the heartland like a cannon in the rain. With the beating of the sleepers and the burning of the cold, counting the towns flashing by.
Oh, oh, oh!